It's relatively easy to avoid unpleasant characters in our social lives. In the office, that's a different story. Robert Sutton is a management professor at Stanford University. He's also the author of The No Asshole Rule, Building a Civilized Workplace and Surviving One That Isn't. He tells Anne Strangechamps when he first heard about the No A-Word Rule.
I possibly first heard about it, to go back to my father, who did use the word, who told me not to be one, probably when I was 4 or 5 years old. But where I think I really started living it was in my academic department. My department is now called Management Science and Engineering at Stanford. And in an earlier incarnation, we were a small 12-person department. And there was this sort of magical moment where we were looking at the resume of a quite famous scholar. And somebody said, this guy's brilliant, but we don't want to hire him because he is, well, to use the word, a jerk. We sort of started this conversation that we were going to have the no a-hole rule in our department. And subsequently, probably for 10 or 12 years, we used that as a clear criteria. And I have to say that it made our department a much more civilized place to work. Also, there's other companies that I've been involved with that, although they don't necessarily use the word, they apply it in what they do. So Pixar's one. Google, they have a great saying. There's a woman named Shona Brown who was for a long time number 4 at Google. And when I was writing the No A Blank Work book, she said, it's not efficient here to be a jerk. You just can't get as much work done. And there was sort of this lovely moment after I gave a talk right after my book came out there. A woman walked up to me and she said, actually, I'm a jerk. I'm a very difficult person, but I've learned I have to be nicer to people here than I usually am because otherwise I can't get my work done. So she sort of confirmed that at least 5 or 6 years ago at Google, that this notion that you couldn't act like that, otherwise you couldn't get your work done. To me, that's like the highest level of the rule actually operating.
To try to kind of pin this down a little bit, specifically, how do you recognize an A word?
There's kind of two approaches. I would describe it sort of even in the academic literature. There are people who make lists of all the bad behaviors that people could take. In fact, there was one list by one academic I saw who listed 100 different bullying behaviors, everything from ignoring people to insulting them to actually physically hitting them. So you could have a very long list. The way that I tend to define it, because it's simpler, is that somebody who leaves you feeling demeaned and de-energized, that's somebody I would label as a jerk. And somebody who does that to everybody in different situation, I would call that person a certified jerk, certified A.
For example, tell me about some you've known. You must have worked with a few.
Yes, I think we all have worked with a few. And I guess I should back up here slightly. The research on bullying and jerks is sort of fascinating because it depends on the survey, but some 30 or 40% of Americans, maybe 15% at any one time, will say that they work with or for a jerk. But only about 0.5% of us will admit being certified jerks or bullying others. So there's a lot of self-servingness here. So I may have been a jerk and deserved it in some cases. And I also have to be careful because remember, I'm tenured in an institution where I'm with people for a very long time. But yes, in various situations, I have worked with them. I should probably stick to clients since my clients are a little bit more ephemeral, like when I do work with companies. I think of one client in particular who, in every interaction I had with him, in every interaction that I saw him have with other people, well, he actually would complain, this was a professional services firm, that particular person wasn't making enough money, or in my case, every interaction I had with him, he would try to negotiate down the price, and he also would personally insult the person in every interaction. And also, he'd do this thing where he'd always stand over people and sort of grab them and kind of push them down. I thought he was pretty much the full package. And I remember sitting at dinner next to one of his colleagues and describing the effect of his leadership. And he said, well, when I first got here, this firm used to be a lovely blend of economics and humanity. And now it's just all economics all the time. And you are just an object to make us all money. Otherwise, we toss you aside. I thought that guy as sort of the complete package demonstrated somebody who would be certified. In public life, if the current media reports are correct, I think Lance Armstrong might be the leading one in our culture right now. I would put Donald Trump in the Hall of Fame. The guy just amazes me. And it's amazing how many people actually like him and admire him. And maybe it does help him be successful. There might be situations where you're successful. And we could quickly move to the famous or infamous Steve Jobs. Jobs, even though clearly many times could be a certified jerk, and one of the advantages and I guess disadvantages of being in the Valley is I know a lot of people who work closely with Steve Jobs and were close friends with him. And they would all say one of the great things about Steve is Steve, although he could be nasty, he was actually pretty good about knowing how to turn it on and off. It's not like he was all jerk all the time. It's sort of like a complicated thing in life to identify them. But to me, the diagnostic is not a bad one, is when people who deal with a person across different settings all say to me, that guy or that woman, because there's plenty of women who qualify, is such a jerk. It's just unbelievable. I think they qualify. Carly Farina, former CEO of Hewlett-Packard, just to throw out a woman's name, clearly would qualify. I cannot use the person's name, but when my book was in galley form, a former HP executive who worked directly with her, I sent him the book, and he sent me back a 3,000-word email, and I'm not joking, it was about 3,000 words, that compared Carly's behavior to the various concepts in the book. So I want to make sure and be an equal opportunity labeler of certified jerks. And also I'm very careful to only name public figures to protect us legally.
You know, some of the kinds of behavior you described in people who are famously certified A-words, that's so extreme. I mean, I've worked with some difficult people, but nobody ever to that extreme. And I'm wondering just how big a problem are, you know, these kind of certified jerks in American workplaces. Surely there can't be that many of them.
If you look at sort of surveys, there's some good national bullying surveys. And like I say, it looks like, what, say 10 to 12% of employees at any one time report they're being bullied. And usually they're bullied by their boss, although not always. So it sounds like 10% at any one time would be a reasonable estimate. The other thing is, and I'm also, it's a good thing you brought this up, because you know, it's great to tell the dramatic stories about people throwing things and screaming and spitting at people. And I'm one example of a famous news anchor who flicked a lit cigarette at an employee's hair. Those things just sound great on air. But when you look at some of the most insidious jerks, especially people with power, some of the things they do are much more subtle than that.
Like what?
They'll glare at people. Treating people as if they're invisible is one of the most upsetting things that upsets people. So you just sort of like talk to the highest status person in the room and everybody is treated as invisible. Little subtle interruptions, bits of undermining, backstabbing, things like that.
Now I'm worried that maybe I've done those things.
We've all done those things, I think. That's part of the human condition. I don't think there's any stopping it. That's the other line that I like to say is that when you read the research on bullying and stuff or stories, it's always like, well, there's those people out there who are jerks and then there's me. Most of us aren't very good at seeing what jerks we are. And I hate to be one of the first to raise my hand, but anybody who knows me well knows that I have my moment where I can certainly be demeaning and leave people de-energized, and I try to stop it. And now when I do it, I sometimes get reminded that I wrote a book about this and I'm breaking my own rule by some of my closer friends. So this notion that, well, I'll use the word assholes are us, I think is a reasonable motto that most of us have to assume that we're capable of doing it to others. The other thing I would say is it isn't all bad. There are some times when leaving people feeling demeaned and de-energized is maybe necessary and strategic and sort of, I guess, in small doses with proper precautions. Mm-hmm. So I'm not completely opposed to it.
So if you find yourself one of the 10% with a toxic or bullying boss and your company doesn't seem to have a no A-word rule, what do you do?
To me, there's sort of almost like a hierarchy of things. It's sort of like being in a destructive relationship. If you're in a situation where every day you go to work, your boss makes you feel like dirt, demeans, de-energizes you, it's a bad situation for you, the best thing to do is to get out. I mean, lots of evidence from the bullying literature that if you can actually just get out of the situation, that's the best thing you can do. Short of that, sort of going down the hierarchy, I talk about things like, well, if you can't do that, well, maybe can you fight back against that person? So the two things that I sort of recommend there is, number one, document, whether you're talking about a lawsuit or reporting to your human resources department. The first thing they're going to say is what documentation to have of the behavior. Save the emails, write notes after the interactions. The other thing, and there's some actually new research that supports this, if you have a bullying boss or in a dysfunctional organization, if you try to fight back by yourself, you're in trouble because they just think you're nuts or you're powerless. To the extent you can form a posse, a group of sort of similar victims to keep notes, you'll be in better shape. One of my favorite examples, there was a woman who actually worked, she was like a dog catcher, an animal control officer, and they had a very abusive boss. She went and complained to her boss's boss. Nothing happened. And then she put together what's called them the A-hole diaries. Her and her coworkers literally put together this documentation, went to the boss's boss, and their boss, who was a woman, by the way, was gone within 24 hours. So this idea of having a posse and documentation is important. And then the other two things that I tend to sort of advise is that when you're in a situation where you can't quite escape, then finding little ways to avoid contact. One woman I talked to, she's actually a CEO. She had an incredibly abusive board member. And what she told me she used to do was to avoid interaction with him directly. She would do only phone calls with him whenever possible. And she would also mute the phone calls and do her fingernails. And then every now and then take it off and mute and say, yes, I understand. So she didn't actually have to have the contact with him. So finding some little way to detach from people. And the final thing that I tend to recommend is, although we live in a world where people talk about passion and caring and all that sort of stuff, that's wonderful if you have a boss or a workplace that deserves your passion and your efforts. But sometimes in life, we get stuck in situations where we just have to tune out and emotionally detach and just not care and get through it. I use the analogy of about 3 years ago, I bought a ticket very late, and I was in the middle seat of the very last row next to the bathrooms in this huge airplane with the lines around you all the time. And I'm pretty large myself, and I was sitting surrounded by two very large people. So I just pretended I wasn't there for, like, you know, the 4 hours from Chicago to San Francisco. And sometimes in life, you've just got to do the emotional detachment and not care to get through until hopefully you can get to another place. So I guess my hierarchy is learn to detach, fight back, but if you can, possibly get out. Because, and there's a lot of evidence with bad bosses, for example, that people who quit bad bosses are much happier and much more successful. Bad bosses do lots of damage.
Robert Sutton is the author of The No Asshole Rule, Building a Civilized Workplace and Surviving One That Isn't. He spoke with N Strain Champs.